Chapter 42. Scott. He spun Ruth around, his guts churning, a hollow feeling in his chest, as if he'd been punched hard in the solar plexus and he couldn't breathe. There was fear and shock in his eyes. He could feel her body trembling beneath his fingers, tears already forming over her eyes. Her mouth opened, but no words came. Then, as if something was bubbling up inside her, something she couldn't control, something toxic, he let go and took a step back. Not fast enough. She pushed him away hard as she bent double from a scream rushing out of her. The scream was a single word that emerged with such violence that he covered his ears. It was a sound he never wanted to hear again. Within it was loss, yearning, and pain. Her gaze fluttered around the room fearfully. Scott knew she could no longer see him. Her mind had gone elsewhere, and still she screamed.
No!
Ruth, Ruth, stop it, he cried. As the last echoes of her cry died on the walls, she reared up. Her eyes were wild, filled with terror. He moved toward her, grabbed her, and held her as tightly as he could as she wailed into his chest. And Scott felt the full force of what he'd done hit him anew. He hadn't killed a murderer. He hadn't killed a predator. It wasn't going to save Ruth's life. It was all for nothing. He had killed the wrong man. His arms locked around Ruth, his fists balled into hammers, his jaw starting to ache from gritting his teeth together. He thought he could feel the anguish flooding back into his wife. She was shaking her head, holding him, willing it not to come. For a moment that morning, he'd watched her shed her anxiety and go out unafraid. She was becoming the woman he'd married again, but now it was all gone. And as much as he wanted to comfort her, he felt his anger rising. Not at Ruth, not exactly, but at himself. He released her suddenly, turned, and began to hammer his fists into the kitchen cabinets, lefts and rights. One of the cabinet doors broke in two, cutting him, and that felt good. The pain felt good. He deserved it, welcomed it, and started hitting them harder. He threw another punch, slamming his bloody knuckles into the side of the cabinet. Panting and bleeding, he suddenly bent over, retching. He stood at the sink and vomited, ran the faucet, splashed water on his face and tried to catch his breath, both hands on either side of the basin in case another wave of nausea came. He thought of the corpse he'd left behind, the neck of the broken bottle buried in his face. That was an image that would stay with him like a scar, but he felt sure it would stay red and raw and never fade.
You told me it was him, said Scott.
When Ruth spoke again, her voice was soft and low.
I thought it was. I was sure. It looked almost exactly like him.
Almost?
He said, turning toward her.
It was him. In my mind, it was him.
Jesus, Ruth, he said.
Look, he was probably a bad guy anyway. You saw the news. You did the right thing.
What? How could you say that?
Because when I thought he was dead, God almighty, I felt good. Going out this morning was like the best thing that ever happened to me. I wasn't afraid anymore. Do you know what it's like being terrified all the time? It's killing me, Scott. The fear is literally killing me. And believing he was dead gave me a new life. And now it's gone, and the fear is back stronger than ever.
The TV was still on, although both had ignored it for a time. The show cut away from a story on the Middle East to reveal some men in police uniform at a podium.
We're interrupting that story to bring you live now to the NYPD press briefing on the murder of Patrick Travers. We understand the police have identified a suspect.